Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, I'm so glad to be here. Who's ready for Vision Builders Month? Vision Builders Month is a little bit like boot camp. It's kind of like, who's ready for boot camp? You know, and your fitness fanatic's like, me! And everyone else is like, oh, no, it's that time? But Vision Builders is awesome. A really good church, I honestly believe a really good church should absolutely be a place where you find comfort. But the Bible says this, it says they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, absolutely, we're going to make you feel comfortable with the way that we have a parking team and umbrellas, and comfortable by the excellence in our baristas serving the best coffee. We want to make sure you feel comfortable with the atmosphere and the air conditioning and the seating and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, a great church actually gets you out of your comfort zone. Nothing is ever achieved. Nothing of greatness is achieved in comfort. Edmund Hillary wasn't thinking of comfort when he was trying to get to the height of the panoramic position of Mount Everest. When he wanted to get up there, he wasn't thinking of comfort. People who win the gold medal aren't thinking of comfort. They're up early. They're training while the rest of us are still sleeping. They're up doing laps in the pool or running on the track, and their body's screaming in pain, but they keep going. And so I honestly believe that a great church will stretch you, will challenge you, will get you out of your comfort zone. That's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a comforter. So we're meant to work in partnership, in tandem with the Holy Spirit. So part of our job as leaders in the church is to actually get you a little bit uncomfortable so the Holy Spirit can comfort you. Otherwise, why do we need him to comfort if we're doing all the fluffing of your pillows and the... So you'll find that a great church is about stretching you. And I got to be honest with you, every stretch that's come into my life has only resulted in an enlargement. That's why Isaiah 54 says, stretch out your curtains, stretch out your tents, let them enlarge the place of your tent. You'll find that as you stretch and as you, man, oh, you know, this is what's comfortable, oh, this is what's not comfortable, you'll find that in that stretch there's an enlargement. When there's an enlargement, there's more of God that you can carry. There's more of God that he can flow through you. And so never, ever fear. Never, ever fear the dynamics. I know most people don't teach on this. And if you've had some church background, this is probably the first time you're hearing this talk. But it's just really, really important. I've walked with God. And I had the privilege of growing up in a non-Christian home. I had the privilege of growing up in a home where my dad was an atheist. So none of this was common to me. None of this was familiar to me. So when I got saved, I immediately got saved into something that was so foreign, so unfamiliar that I had to throw myself in it. And then for the last 32 years walking with God, I've began to see the rhythms of God. I've began to see the processes of God. And I'm not trying to tell you that I've captured it in 32 years. In 32 million years, I'll still only be scratching the surface of just God's magnificence and his wisdom and his moving. But in 32 years, God has revealed just enough to show me his movings, to reassure me that he's working in this, and that I can step out and I can enlarge the place of my territory, and I don't need to be afraid of being uncomfortable because God meets me out there. When he called the disciples after they'd fished all night and caught nothing, he said to them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Why couldn't Jesus just bring the fish into the shallow? How many people believe that God can do whatever he likes? Only a few of you, let me tell you, the rest of you, God can do whatever he likes. He's pretty clever. Jesus could have just said, fish. And the fish could have come into the shallow and leapt into the boat. In fact, he could have made them all jump on the shore. But he didn't. He said to the disciples, there's a miraculous catch, but you got to launch out into the deep. Let down. There's a lot. Listen to me. Life is too short for you, for me, to be your pastor, to be your leader, and let you play in the shallow. Let you play in the shore. Let you play where there's no threat, there's no danger, there's no risk. You know, it's just comfortable. No, no, you'll find God's miraculous catches out in the deep. Amen. Sometimes you've got to go deep to see the miraculous catch. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. It's great to be here at South Campus, all you beautiful faces. How many people thought we'd be in the new building by now? I had a really good friend of mine tell me, and it's happened with all of our projects, but I'm the eternal optimist, so I always believe that they will deliver on the day that they say they're going to deliver, and they always say, yeah, you need to add 3 months. I didn't want to believe that because I wanted to be in by Easter, and sure enough, it's, you know, that horrible, ugly, prophetic word of reality is coming through. So, but I've got to tell you, your pastor, Pastor Drew and Emma, are phenomenal. He is down there with his team cracking the whip pretty much each and every day, stirring them up, agitating it. Otherwise, if we just left it to them, we would be in by Easter 2024. But thank God for your senior pastor, Drew, who's down there every week, every day of the week, stirring them up, calling them up. And then I also just want to say thank you to so many of you. I know Maddie Lee with Lee Tile and Stone, and you know, with flooring and tiling, and then labor and demolition, and you know, all the over-the-top giving, and it's just helped us. And I love that as a senior pastor. I love seeing people getting excited about the vision and excited about the new building. How many people can't wait for the new building? It is going to be absolutely incredible. And you're right, it is only a building, but, you know, we've got to live somewhere. We've got to live somewhere here. We have to ask them, can we do this? Can we have that? Can we be? We have to check. When we have our own building, we don't got to ask anybody. It's our building. If we want to have seven meetings, 7 nights of the week, we can do it. If we want to record a live album, we can do it. If we want to have the musical productions of Twisted and Hero, we can do it. We don't have to ask anybody's permission. That's why there's a power in owning buildings. You'll find the devil hates the church taking ground. The devil hates it. But anyway, I'm getting carried away. I want you to come with me in your Bibles. The title of my message this morning is Exponential. Exponential. Is it going to come up? There it is, the exponential. The exponential. If you were to say to me, hey, Pastor, you know, what is God's will for my life? Well, what's God's purpose for my life? What's God's desired end for my life? What's God's intention for my life? I would tell you it's right there. It's the word exponential. Exponential. If you look at anybody that met Jesus, anybody that followed Jesus, anybody that became a disciple of Jesus, their life took on an exponential factor. In fact, I honestly believe that the signature of God on somebody sold out to the purposes of God is exponential. Is exponential. You will find yourself living in a realm. You'll find yourself walking in a sphere. You'll find yourself occupying a space. You'll find yourself residing in an atmosphere that can only be described as exponential. It will be beyond your pay grade. It'll be beyond your skill set. It'll be beyond your ability what God will do, because my Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the great power at work in us. So you need to understand, he's writing to the Ephesians church, who are born again believers, who have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of them. And the Apostle Paul is saying, this is God's will, and it's all going to happen by the power that he's already put on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Ghost. So now when you're in church, the whole point of church is to discover and to throw yourself into the processes of God that bring out the exponential. So let me give you a few scriptures just in case you're struggling to believe with me. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I love this passage of scripture. It's so awesome. It's again, we see God's wonderful plan. Jesus says, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I love this because if you read the context, the disciples were saying, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has set in his own authority. It's amazing. Every time I watch Christian TV, I struggle. I struggle with wanting to puke all over the floor. Because they're selling you butane heaters and baked beans and get your tribulation package right now. You know, $9.95, you know, monthly payments, and you can get your trip. We got canned food. We got frozen food. We got UHT, ultra heat sensitive milk. We got powdered. When you flee into the caves, you're going to survive your tribulation because Jesus has come back. Here's a graph behind me on a screen that just shows the activity of the Antichrist, and he's coming right now. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but it is for you to receive power. I reckon a lot of the powerless churches have decided to forsake the power to try and know the times and seasons. It's not for us to know the times and seasons. When will Jesus come back? Jesus will come back. This is all I know. The only clue he gave us is in Matthew 24:14. He says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world as a testimony, then the end will come. If you watch these claptrap shows, they'll try and tell you that it's, you know, the rise of the Antichrist and it's the surrounding of Jerusalem, and all of those are symptoms, and all of those are, you know, absolutely, you know, Antichrist manifestations. But Jesus says he ain't coming back until this gospel is preached to the whole world as a testimony, then the end will come. Now, you may say, well, we've done that over 2,000 years. Yeah, but the ones that we started at have now got a new generation that haven't heard the gospel. Jesus is talking about the gospel being a global phenomenon. There is not one tribe, not one nation, not one village, not one people group, not one ethnicity that does not have a powerful witness of the gospel. That's when Jesus says, now I can split the sky, now I can return. But for us to do that, we're going to need some power. God's purpose for your life is power. You will find that it is impossible for you to separate the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of power. Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, is the Greek word for power. Explosive, supernatural power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 10:38 talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You will find that the Holy Spirit and power go together. There are so many Christians who live in a powerless state. Can I just encourage you? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit and you will walk in power. Instead of being overcome, you will become an overcomer. Somebody say amen. Instead of being conquered all the time, you will become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. When you get filled with the power of God, you begin to realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You'll begin to find that there is a supernatural edge. There is an exponential power that's at work in your life. Now, let me just tell you this. Today, the whole message, and I'm going to try and navigate my way through this, is I want to talk to you about the anointing. The anointing. The anointing is the word anointing literally means to mark or to smear. Colin Higginbottom, who looks after our Pathfinders, went through a very, very difficult time in his life. He was a young man, very devoted to God, and he said there were only two prophecies that ever happened in his church. If God was going to use you, he was going to make you a pastor, or he's going to make you a missionary. There were the two options. So if you wanted to serve God, you were either going to be a pastor or a missionary. They were the only two options that God had. If the anointing, if you wanted the presence of God, and if you wanted to be fruitful to God, and if you wanted to stand before God on that day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, then you had two options. You could either be a pastor or you could be a missionary. That was it. And so he decided to leave the business world and Trey's hand at pastoring, and he said everything turned to custard, and he was trying to do it in his own strength, and he didn't feel like there was a great anointing or anything there, or a great calling, and it ended up costing him very, very dearly. It cost him a broken marriage and a broken heart and a broken life. And then he picked himself back up and kept going to church through the pain, and then just felt, you know what, that's not for me. I feel like I've always been called to business. Started a business, just found that God was just with him. God just kept blessing him. And obviously remarried beautiful Melissa, and you know, she'd had also gone through a similar difficult passage, and together now that they know that they are anointed. They are anointed for the marketplace. So let me just tell you this, when I read my Bible, which is a smart thing to do, when you read your Bible, you'll find that God didn't just anoint priests. He also anointed kings. Did you know that? He anointed kings and priests. Kings are people that take territory. Kings are people that govern over regions. We want you to understand that there is an anointing for you to take territories. There is an anointing for you to govern over regions in the marketplace. Whether that's in education, whether that's in commerce, whether that's in business, whether that's in finance, whether that's in music, whether that's in the arts, whether that's in film, whatever area, there is an anointing that you can step into. But God didn't just anoint kings. He didn't just anoint priests. He also anointed judges. In fact, there's a whole book of Judges where God anointed judges. God anointed warriors. Samson was a warrior. The passage of scripture I wanted to read that I'm going to abbreviate for you, but you can look it up later, is in Judges chapter 15. It's a sad story because Samson has exacted vengeance on the Philistines, and then the Philistines send up a few thousand men to arrest Samson. When they come to the Israelite camp, the Israelites come out and says, "Well, why are you picking a fight with us?" And they said, "We've come to arrest Samson." And so they went down to Samson, and he was in a place called Etam at the cleft of the rock, and they came down to him, and this is what they said. They said to him, "What are you doing? Don't you know the Philistines rule over us?" What a sad statement. God said to the children of Israel, when you cross over this Jordan and you divide the land that I give you, no nation, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will drive out the Hivite. I will drive out the Jebusite. I will drive out the Amorite. I will drive out Og, king of Bashan. I will drive out all of these enemies from before you so that you can possess the land. But here the children of Israel, backslidden, had already succumbed, had already found it comforting to just submit and serve under the Philistine nation. Don't you? You know, there are so many Christians that live under what God has called you to rule over. I said, there are so many Christians who live under what God has called you to rule over. Now, if that's what you want, we're the wrong church. You should just make today your last time at C3 San Diego Church, because there are other churches who will let you live under what God has called you to rule over. But I'm telling you, at this church, life is too short. The purpose of God, the plans of God for your life and for this city are too great for me to leave you in that place, occupying a position you were never created to occupy. The Bible says, my Bible again says, that you were created to be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, that you're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the country, you're blessed going in, you're blessed coming out. That God's hand is meant to be upon you, that we're meant to rule over. But here they said, don't you know the Philistines rule over us? We're comfortable with being second best. We're comfortable with mediocrity. We're comfortable with always losing. We're comfortable with being behind. And so he says, well, what do you propose? They said, well, they want you. After he'd delivered them, after he'd set them free so many times. And so he says, just promise me you won't kill me. They said, well, we promise we won't kill you. The Bible says they bound him with fresh ropes. And they took him down and they delivered him. They delivered God's deliverer to the Philistines. They gave him over to the enemy, thinking if we just compromise enough, maybe then the enemy will leave us at peace. You know, if we don't get involved in the political landscape, if we don't get involved in you know, pro-life versus, if we don't get involved in those things, maybe then they'll leave us at peace. And so they handed Samson over. They handed their strength over. They handed their God-anointed, chosen deliverer over. But the Bible says, as the Philistines came upon him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. As the Philistines drew near, so did the Spirit of God, so did the anointing of God. And the Bible says the ropes became like flax, just came off him. And there was no weapon in his hand, but the Philistines came with armor, they came with weaponry, they came with swords and shields and spears, and they came ready for battle. And the Bible says Samson looked down, and within his reach, he just had to reach a little bit, there was a jawbone of a donkey. And he grabbed that jawbone and kind of, you know, shook the maggots off it, and then just began, and heads were just exploding, you know. And he's getting showered down here, Mikey Yeager, because it's raining outside. I didn't want you to miss out sitting here on the inside. How's your eyesight? If not, just get some of the saliva, put it in your eyes. Wash it in the pool of Siloam. You'll find yourself seen. You know, there are soldiers, you know, kind of looking up going, yeah, what's going on up there? It looks like something's coming this way. Oh, what's he doing? He's busting heads. How's he doing that? I thought they tied him up. Aye, but the ropes broke like flax on his arms. It appears he's got some type of weapon. What kind of weapon has he got? It appears to be the jawbone of an ass. The jawbone of a what? I mean a donkey. The jawbone of a donkey. He's got, and the Bible says that day Samson slew 1,000 men. 1,000 Philistines destroyed, the rest of them tucked-tailed and run, and God brought about, again, a great victory. I read that, and I love that story, because the Spirit of God came on Samson. In fact, you find later when they capture Samson, when the devil tries to draw him in using Delilah as bait, it's interesting because they're looking at him and they're trying to figure out what's the secret of his strength, which tells me that he wasn't 8 foot tall, which tells me that he wasn't kind of posing for Mr. Universe, because otherwise we'd say, oh, well, obviously his strength is his big muscles. His strength is his stature, his physique. So there was nothing about his stature or physique that gave him such supernatural strength. There was an exponential factor. That exponential factor, may I put to you, is the anointing of God. Can I tell you, the same anointing, the same Spirit of the Lord that rested upon Samson is the same Spirit that God wants to rest on you, that God wants to put on your life. Don't live your life just secure and comforted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's amazing how many people have exchanged a degree for the anointing and the power of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a degree. Absolutely. Get training. You know, Psalm 144, David says, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. It's awesome to be trained. It's awesome to be educated. It's awesome to be equipped, but not if you use that as a substitute for the anointing. There is no substitute for the anointing, for the presence and the power of God. The power of the anointing of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will make you greater, will make you better, will make you stronger, will make you sharper than you've ever been before. Can somebody say amen? So let me give you a couple of quick thoughts. Number one is that God anoints not just kings and priests, but God anoints everybody. God has an anointing for your life. God has an anointing for teachers to teach. He has an anointing for preachers to preach. He has an anointing for leaders to lead. He has an anointing for businessmen and businesswomen to go into the marketplace and compete in the marketplace of ideas, compete for contracts and you to get the harvest, you to get the contract, you to get the victory. Why? The Bible says, Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you. Come on, somebody. Power. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why would he give you power to get wealth? That he may establish his covenants in the earth. How does God bring power? Holy Spirit. How does God bring power? Holy Spirit. If you literally do a study on that, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power through the Holy Spirit to generate wealth, to go out and compete and get wealth. You need to understand that God has an anointing for you. The greatest thing you and I can do is consecrate ourselves unto God so that the Spirit of God can rest on you. If the Holy Spirit was a plane looking for a landing strip to land, is your life a place where He can land? What is your runway too cluttered with sin and too cluttered with compromise and your own insecurities or your pride and your arrogance or perversion or distortion, whatever, for the Holy Spirit to land? Or have you cleared room? Have you prepared a heart? You know, when we come to the house of God, the Bible says that we ought to come seeking the Lord. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. When you walk into the house of God, it's a place where you prepare your heart. It's a place where you get rid of the clutter. And it's a place where you lift your hands and you say, my God, let your anointing, let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon me. I got to tell you this, when you let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon your life, you will find yourself living at a level that is beyond your comprehension. When I stand before God and I hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, and you better believe that I will actually be pointing my finger at Jesus Christ and saying, all glory, all honor, all majesty belongs to Him, because I lived with me before He came into my life. And I got to tell you something, Heavenly Father, if I achieved this, it wasn't because I was so smart or I was so clever. It was because He came into my life. It was because He picked me up when I was broken. It's because He set my feet upon a rock. It's because He made my footsteps firm. It's because He breathed into me the breath of life. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the earth. And then God breathed into man the breath of life, and Adam becomes a living being. Years later, we see in Ezekiel 37, God takes Ezekiel and sets him down into a valley. And the valley is full of dry bones. There was once a mighty army, but it had lost a battle. It was defeated in this valley, and it was known as the Valley of Bones. And God takes Ezekiel to this place, a place of defeat, a place of humiliation, a place of failure. And He sits him down in the valley, and then He asks him impossible questions. He says, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel knows enough about God as chapter 37. He's walked with God for 36 chapters. So he knows you don't tell God something's impossible. But God says, son of man, can these bones live? He's like, Lord God, you know. Which is always a smart answer. And then God says to him, prophesy. Prophesy, son of man, prophesy to these bones that they may live. As he says, and as I began to prophesy, the bones began to rattle. And then he says, son of man, now prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the breath of God, that God's breath would come upon them. And the Bible says, as God breathed the flesh, the sinews, and they rose up and they again became a mighty army. And God says, this is what I'm going to do with Israel. I will rebuild the ruins. I will rebuild what's broken down. Do you know how many Christians live in the valley of a failure yesterday, of a defeat yesterday? You know what God has for you? He has a prophecy. God has a word, and God has a spirit. God has an anointing. God has a breath that He wants to blow over your life. The whole purpose of being in the house of God, like Pastor Drew was saying about worship, is to engage, to encounter, let that breath of heaven blow over your life again. The second thought that I have for you is that the anointing is supernatural. The anointing is a supernatural endowment. God wants there to be a supernatural edge to your life. Do you know what's very interesting? Again, when you read about the Philistines, one of the things the Philistines did in the time of David, Jonathan, and King Saul, was he removed all the blacksmiths from Israel. The Philistines removed all the blacksmiths from Israel. And the Bible says that the Israelites had no blacksmiths to forge weapons of war. But whenever they came from their farms, and whenever they came from their business, whenever they came from what they needed to survive, whether it was a sickle or whether it was a saw, or they could sharpen those tools. But as far as swords, there were no swords in Israel. There were no weapons in Israel, save in the hand of Jonathan, the prince, and Saul, the king. See, the enemy doesn't mind you just surviving. See, my job, the leadership of this church, we are anointed by God to be blacksmiths. The pastor is a blacksmith. I'm a blacksmith. And the devil wants me to be a blacksmith that only sharpens you to survive, that only sharpens just what you need just to survive, just to put food on the table. But I've got to tell you, fooey to all of that. What we believe is we believe that you were created to carry weapons, to discover the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. There are weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Is anyone catching this morning? I don't know if I'm in the right place this morning. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. No wonder the devil doesn't want you discovering the weapons. He doesn't want you moving in the power of God. He doesn't want you speaking in tongues, unlocking things. He doesn't want you moving in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. He doesn't want you taking prophetic words and shooting them into your future, shooting them over your marriage, shooting them over your finances, shooting them over your family, shooting them into enemy territory, shooting them into the darkness. He does not want you to learn how to operate in weapons, and he doesn't want you to possess weapons. But the Bible says, man, thank God for David. David rose up again, the blacksmiths. He brought the blacksmiths again, and again they began to forge weapons, and again, and they began to rise up, and they began to become that mighty army. They began to take territory. Let me tell you this. How are we going to raise money for 16 campuses? It's going to come through you. How's it going to come through me? Because you're going to find the gifts. You're going to find the anointing. You're going to find the weaponry. You're going to find the power of God. It is going to come upon you. You are going to dominate in the marketplace. You are going to find through the Spirit of God. David says, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. There should be a supernatural edge over your life. Quit living under what God has called you to live over. Can somebody say amen? You know, in Joel 2:28, it says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. God wants to raise up the dreamer generation, the prophet generation, the seer generation. Number three, the third thought that I have, my final thought, is exponential is God's will. Do you know that 76% of Americans come to church? 76% of church-going Americans come to church to hear a biblical-based life application teaching from the Scripture. I got to tell you, man, when I read that or when I heard that, I thought, man, America is actually in quite a healthy state. When 76% of people come to church are coming saying, hey, Pastor, open the Word of God. Teach us from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? They're coming looking for life application from the Word of God. You better believe that the church in America is not dead. She is not dead. Let me tell you, she is the sleeping giant of the church. She is beginning to awake. She is beginning to arise. But I got to tell you, it's not just the fact that we come on a Sunday to hear a clever little homily or a nice little sermonette, but we come on a Sunday to hear life application. Teaching, and you can't separate the Word from the Spirit. You can't separate the Word from the Spirit. He is the Word, and He also is the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. There's the Father, there's the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7. And so you will find that God is raising up in this day, in this hour, through His Holy Spirit. He's making people dreamers again. I got to tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, power manifests in so many different ways. One of the great powers is He causes you to dream again. Do you know how many people have stopped dreaming? Do you know psychology have discovered with the left and the right operations of the brain that the left is the creative, the imaginative side of the brain, and the right is the analytical. And they say that for the first 40 years, the left side of the brain is the one that fires. All the synapses are firing. Because for the first 40 years of your life, you're meant to be dreaming. I love it. You go up to, you know, a little kid. You ask them, they're 2, 3, 4, 5. And you ask them what they believe they can do anything. They put little Superman capes on. They believe that they're Superman. They believe they've got superpowers. You know, I'd ask Zoe, what do you want to be when you grow up? She goes, the princess. She believes she's going to be a princess. She believes that she's going to marry a prince, like, you know, an astronaut. Like, it's little. And then what happens when you're 15 or 16? It's like, what do you want to be? What are you going to? By 25, we've so lowered the bar. We've stopped. You know, psychology tells us that we're meant to live for at least the first 40 years out of the imaginative. The problem is most people live out of the right side of the brain, which is this side, which is the memory center. The memory center. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with people, even pastors, even leaders. And when I sit with them, they tell me about the good old days. I remember back when I was a lad, back when you were just a little whippersnapper. I can still remember, and they reflect on the good old days. They reflect on the good. I got to tell you, I never want to be there. You know, my Bible says about a guy called Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old. And he came to Joshua and he says, Joshua, probably said in a Scottish accent, excuse me. He said, Joshua, I'm 85 years old now. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. He's 85. And Joshua's like, oh, your mountain? He says, 45 years ago, God spoke to me about that mountain there. He said, that mountain is your mountain. He says, and for these 40 years, he's kept me alive in the wilderness. For 40 years, as the rest have circled, I've stared at that mountain. And I know that God's promise is sure. I know that God's promise is true. And my strength is the same today as it was 40 years ago. His strength was the same at 85 as it was at 40. You know why? Because he had vision. When you lose your vision, you lose your strength. You didn't hear me, but it's true. When you lose your vision, it's because you've lost your strength. The Bible says when Delilah cut Samson's hair, the Spirit of the Lord left him. And then when they overpowered him because he no longer had strength, the first thing they did was they bored out both his eyes. They took away his vision because he had no strength. You'll always find strength and vision go hand in hand. Caleb says, my strength has not waned because my vision has been sure. You will find when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, instead of living like the rest of the world, out of the pain of missed opportunities, out of the pain of broken promises, out of the pain of contracts violated, out of the pain of a marriage breakdown, divorce, out of the pain of the loss of a child, out of the pain, instead of living in the memory center, shutting down the imagination center, my Bible says in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. They'll change their language about the future. The world will talk doom and gloom and joblessness and hopelessness and whatever, but they'll begin to speak about, no, God is shaping things and God is doing things. He says, and your young men will see visions. You know what a vision is? A vision is something that'll keep you strong. A vision is something that at 85 still keeps you alive, still keeps you engaged, still keeps you active, still keeps you pushing forward, still keeps a cry of a warrior on the earth. Give me my moment at 80, because he was a young man with a vision. But you'll find the Bible says, and even the old men will dream dreams. All of a sudden, all the synapses on the left-hand side of the brain start firing again. You start dreaming again. You start realizing, my God, I'm 80 years old, but God hasn't forgotten me. God hasn't given up on me. I'm not too old. Moses was 80 years of age when he has the encounter with God at the burning bush. This bush catches on fire, and God speaks out from the burning bush, and he says, Moses, Moses. And from 80 to 120, Moses becomes the most powerful deliverer the world had ever seen until the time of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when the anointing comes upon your life, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, there is an anointing. This month is Vision Builders Month. And there's 101 things I could have preached today, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, you got to preach about me. We're a Holy Ghost church. What makes C3 different to San Diego is we ain't afraid. We ain't backing up from the power of the Holy Spirit. We ain't backing up from speaking in tongues. We ain't backing up from moving in the gifts. We're moving in the power, moving in the anointing. We want you to understand there is an anointing for your life. We want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is looking to rest upon you. And when you allow him, he will make you greater. He will make you better. He will make you sharper. He will make you more brilliant than you could ever be on your own. Come on, stand to your feet. Lift your hands to heaven. I've got to come to a close. Beautiful Rudy, is your Gladys with you? She is. You guys are lovely. Hold hands. Hold hands. Father, I just thank you. And the word of the Lord to you, Rudy and Gladys, is literally here. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. You were faithful with a little, so I gave you more. But the Lord says, you've been faithful as I've given you more, so get ready for increase. Get ready for increase. In fact, I see some of your competitors who put on a good show on the front, but they're struggling in the back. They're struggling behind the scenes. And I see them coming to you, and they're offering you to buy them out. And God says, don't go with the first price they offer you. Don't even go with the second price they offer you. In fact, God says that he's going to do something supernatural, that it looks crazy on paper, but they're going to be happy to hand it over to you. But I just see favor, because the Bible says, to him who has, more will be given. To him who has, and because you have a heart for his house, and you have a heart for his purposes, and a heart for his kingdom, God will take from the one, and he'll give it to the guy with 10. And they'll say, but he's already got... To him who has, more will be given. That's what I see over your life. The blessing of God, the blessing of God. Christian, how did you get such a beautiful wife? Come on, that's like me. Come on. Hold hands, guys. Stretch your hands out towards this great couple. Father, we just thank you for the anointing. And I see a fresh anointing, and I see an anointing. And the Apostle Paul said this. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I just see God just showing me where there's just been some devils that have surrounded you to put a ceiling, to put you in a box, to say this is all you are and this is all you'll ever be, to get you to look at the strength of your hand, to get you to look at the strength of your ability. But God says, I want you to shift your eyes. I want you to lift your eyes and look at my strength and not put any limits. Just bust those ceilings off. Just remove those ceilings, because I just see God can do exceedingly abundantly. In fact, I see this next 12 months, get ready. You're going to feel like you're holding onto the reins, but it's hard to stay in the seat because of what God is about to do. And I hear the word acceleration. God is going to accelerate. Get ready to accelerate. So strap yourself in. Kansas is going bye-bye. Strap yourself in. The power of God is on you in Jesus' name, and on you, beautiful daughter, on you, beautiful daughter. How many people love this young man right here, Travis and Susan? Lift your hands. Stretch your hands out towards Travis. Come on. The power of God is on this couple. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for an anointing to not just lead the young people of this house, but to equip and empower them. And I see you putting weapons in the hands of our young people. Most people think, oh, Travis, he's the funny guy from Twisted. Oh, our children must be having a good time. He's probably like a really good entertainer. He's probably like a party clown. But he's not a party clown. He may be entertaining, but he's not an entertainer. No, no, no. He's an equipper. He's an equipper. And I see you putting weapons in. I see these young people, 13, 14, 15, and they're praying in tongues. They know how to bring the presence of God. They know how to pull down strongholds. They know how to walk into their school and tear down the strongholds the devil has set up. They know how to rebuke spirits of darkness and depression and suicide and depravity that has tried to destroy. I see them. You will impart to them strength. You will equip them. You will anoint them. You will lead them into battle like a general, and you'll come back and you'll debrief with them, and then you'll send them out again, and you'll send them out again, and they'll become warriors and they'll become generals in the great army and the great purposes of God. I see churches coming out of this youth ministry. I see pastors and leaders coming out. I see apostles, bishops. I see evangelists and prophets coming out of this youth ministry in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to heaven. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, let your oil of anointing, fresh oil, rest upon me today. I receive your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can one of you receive? Give God a great shout this morning. Can I just encourage you tonight, 5 p.m. at Central, we have former Welsh rock and roll legend, Pastor Ray Bevan, who's now a phenomenal preacher. He's going to be there tonight. Incredible. But I just feel like just in the last 30 seconds of this service, if your life's not right with God, if you're away from God, friend, the first thing you got to do is come back to God. Maybe there's sin separating you from God. Friend, there's no sin. I'm telling you, there is no pleasure. There is no sin. There is no drug. There is no high this world can give you that is worth sacrificing the Most High, Jesus Christ. So would you just close your eyes and bow your head? And if you're here today, you're saying, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I'm away from God. I'm disconnected from God. I'm far from God. I'd like to come back to God. I want to pray for you in my closing prayer in about 10 seconds. If that's you, would you just quickly raise your hand? We'll lay every head is bowed, every eye closed, and say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me, and I'll see your hand, and I'll pray for you. Who are those ones? Quickly, just lift your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm away from God. I'm disconnected. My life's not right. Is there anybody like that at all? Quickly, lift your hand high to heaven. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Who else is there? I feel like there's somebody else. Somebody else. I'd love to pray for you. Love to pray for you. Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand, darling. Somebody else? Somebody else. Somebody else. Thank you up the back. I see your hand. God bless you. I see you all the way in the back, in the white. God bless you. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, you saw those that raised their hands. I ask, Lord Jesus, you would draw near to them today, that you would know that they are forgiven today. And that's the word I hear. You're forgiven. Jesus died on the cross, not to point out your sins, but to wash away your sin. Jesus died on the cross not to point out, but to wash away your sin. And because he died on the cross for your sin, he has washed your sin away. And as you receive him into your heart, you receive forgiveness. You receive eternal life. I thank you today. Bless them in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Standing over here by the exit door is a handsome young man in a checked shirt. Can you give us a wave? This young man here, those of you that raised your hands, we've got a gift that we want to give you. We want to give you a Bible, and we've got a book called Following Jesus. It's just our gift to you. So would you see him? We're going to bless you. But would you welcome right now Pastor Drew?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.